97.5, The Fanatic.
What's going on, y'all? 97.5, The Fanatic. Devon Givens with you here as we broadcast from the Xfinity studio, only from Comcast. It's time to go. Yes, I'm about to say it. In the post until midnight, basketball is back. What's going on, my people? Where has it been? Well, it's really only been a few months since they ended things in August, but you know what I mean. Regular season basketball in South Philadelphia here on the Fanatic. It's great to have it back, even if it's just preseason for the two games that we get this week. But the NBA gets underway next week with the start of the regular season on the 22nd. The Sixers do not play on that Tuesday, but they started off on that Wednesday, the 23rd, against the Washington Wizards here in Philadelphia, against Russell Westbrook and Bradley Beal. Looking forward to that, but we have enough to talk about with this game where we can hold off a bit with Washington in terms of the Philadelphia 76ers. So a good win. And it really wasn't about the win overall, as we all know. It's not really about the win. We know that. It's about having the game back. It's about having the game back and seeing the new people that they have, led by Seth Curry, Danny Green, Dwight Howard, among a few of them. Tyrese Maxey clearly showing some of the things that people really focused on with him in the offseason, as you start to put together your thoughts on what the Sixers need to do with the draft. So it was good to see Tyrese Maxey have some success. Isaiah Joe struggled. So if we talk nerves a little bit and all the energy and everything that was there, you had Tyrese Maxey with a lot of the energy there, and Isaiah Joe a little nervous, right? A little nervous to start things off. Shot the air ball first, and then he got back at it a little bit. A better shot attempt, but you could see the nerves were there. Had to, knock off the rust a little bit for him. Paul Reed did not have an opportunity to play. Terrence Ferguson, he did not have an opportunity to play. But it was really about seeing these guys get out there. Number one, staying healthy. Seeing these guys get out there, because I'm already seeing the story from Chris Clemens about Chris Clemens with the Houston Rockets, where it looked like he has an Achilles tear already with the Houston Rockets. So that's sad. That's tough. You would never want to hear anything like that, but that's where we are. So number one, first and foremost, is the health and the safety, and no one getting hurt in this game, an exhibition for the 76ers. But for me tonight, you know, my takeaways as we get ready to talk to you about the win, 108-99, and an abbreviated in the post here tonight as we go until midnight. I'll give the numbers out right now, 610-632-0975. We had a few people call during the post game show, the Sixers post game show, where unfortunately, you know, we cannot take those phone calls. We have to wait till we get on the air here. And again, 610-632-0975. So my takeaways from tonight's preseason action against Boston. Boston certainly without two of their key players in Kemba Walker and Tristan Thompson. Tristan Thompson, their big free agent acquisition to man the middle for them. I thought it was a great pickup by the Boston Celtics to play for the Boston Celtics there in the middle. Arguably, you know, since Al Horford, well, obviously since Al Horford, their best option at that position. They've had some nice run there from Daniel Tice, who also missed tonight's game with a little bit of a sore back. So they missed two of their big men and Kemba Walker, their starting point guard. So you don't want to get carried away, but what you saw from the 76ers with, number one, everyone available, no one sitting out, Joel Embiid playing 16 minutes and 48 seconds in the first half and being kind of dominant against Robert Williams, who is active, and you bring in Grant Williams and Semi Ojeleye, and you try to bang with him a little bit. He's going to have his way. Taco Fall as well, he's going to have his way. But he didn't look like he was laboring too much. Two personal fouls, six free throw attempts, 6 of 14 from the floor, 0 of 4 from deep. Maybe a couple of them, I looked at him and said, again, Joel, I don't mind them. And 4 is my number. but he had four in 18 minutes, and he knew that he wasn't going to play in the second half, so he was firing them up. And they were open, so not much of a complaint there, but again, he looked good tonight, Joel Embiid, and the fact that Doc Rivers revealed at the end of the game that he did total those 18 points without them running his offense, simply running the team's offense, was a very good sign for the 76ers tonight. Tobias Harris, who was aggressive, he was looking for his 25 minutes and 42 seconds, 7 of 11 from the floor with 9 rebounds to go with the 16 points that he had tonight for the 76ers. And it was great to see him aggressive, and that's something that I would like to see consistently from him all season long, from Tobias Harris, to have the impact, that type of impact on the Sixers offense, where he's able to get into a flow, being those high teens, low 20s, maybe carry that over into the 22, 23 points per game for the 76ers. They're going to ask a lot from him again. He's a key, he's a core piece for the 76ers he's going to be here. So you want to see him do some good things. So it was nice to see him aggressive from the start to finish, you know, where he did not play in the fourth quarter. So it was good to see that from Tobias Harris tonight with his 7 of 11 from the floor. Simmons looking to get everyone involved like he always does early on. And then out of the locker room in the third quarter, that's when he started to pick it up and look for his a little bit more. He had some mismatches. It was good to see him take advantage of those. I remember specifically at one point where he had a smaller defender on him, and I'm trying to picture it, who it was. I want to say it was Jeff Teague. It was one of the younger guys, and he just basically took him right to the basket, understanding that, number one, he's a veteran player, knows that his size is an advantage. He knows this anyway, but understood to take the guys, you know, off the dribble, post them up, take them off the dribble, boom, get to the basket quickly for a bucket and possibly the foul and get some free throws. He was 4 or 5 from the free throw line for the 76ers tonight. So that was encouraging to see that even when he was trying to find his guys, and he had 6 assists tonight on during his 26 minutes and 1 second, 3 of 5 from the floor, 4 or 5 from the free throw line, as mentioned, 6 assists. And a lot of those are going to be for those shooters that they acquired in the offseason. We'll get to those in a second. One play that I'd like to isolate here for you as we talk about this are two plays, really. One converted into a bucket. The other one was a foul. Ben Simmons, right wing, dribbling the ball. Joel Embiid off ball on the wing, cutting to the basket, Joel Embiid did. Simmons catching him in stride where he was able to catch it without having to put the ball on the floor because of his length. His size, he can take those two steps, legal steps, to get to the basket and try for a layup, finish, whatever it is. And that's what happened. One of them, a converted layup. The second one, a foul, got to the free throw line for 2 free throws. And that's encouraging to see something like that, a new wrinkle, if you will, in the Sixers offense with Doc Rivers calling what they need for the 76ers to do that. So that was great. Danny Green and Seth Curry, 24 minutes and 16 seconds for Curry, 12:46 for Danny Green. They combined for 4 of 10 from the floor, 2 of 6 from behind the three-point line. Shooters shoot. Shooters shoot. Shooters have to get themselves in rhythm. This is preseason game number 1. While we're not going to get carried away with Embiid's 18, even though it was great to see that in an offense where he was not his offense was not a focal point, the team's offense, the ball will find your best players. I always talk about this, and it was great to hear Doc Rivers say this. When we speak about Simmons and the things that he needs to do, same thing for Joel Embiid. The ball will find you. The ball is attracted to you because you are the best player out there, and that's what happens there. In the same way Simmons does what he does and letting the flow of the offensive game for him come to him, getting everyone else involved, the same thing will happen with Embiid when they're locked looking. And that's what's going to happen with these shooters, where the ball will find them because the best players, Simmons and Embiid, will find those shooters when things open up for them. Whenever Embiid gets going on the low block, those double teams are going to come. The ball's going to swing to those open shooters. Inevitably, that will be Danny Green and Seth Curry. So that will be something. I'm not worried about that in the least for those two players right now, totaling 10 points on their 4 of 10 shooting. And once again, 2 of 6 from behind a 3-point line. Not worried about that at all. Danny Green, at the 6'5", 6'6", size that he has, his frame, still a decent defender in this league, where it's good to have him out there with that first unit. I've been saying how I want Matisse Thybulle in that starting role with them because of his defense. I understand why Doc Rivers will bring him off the bench and do what he does right now, because maybe the offense is a little bit behind still, but the defense is way above average for a second-year player on the wing, understanding who he's going to have to defend in this league. So the shooters, no problem there off the bench. We mentioned it, leading the bench unit with 23 minutes and 14 seconds on 8 of 14 shooting, 3 of 6 from behind the 3-point line. That is Shake Milton in a role that is understood immediately. There are no injuries keeping him from doing what he's doing. He understands he's going to be the first guard off the bench, whether it's going to be in the combo role or in the point guard role, where he's asked to lead that unit as a guy to set up their offense, get them in their sets. And then if things break down, of course, you have someone like Shake who can break down the defense, get his or find his for his teammates as well, and get them going. 19 points for him. Love seeing that. Furkan Korkmaz, one of the first three off the bench. Again, as we mentioned, we'll get to the third with 18 minutes and 50 seconds. 8 points for him, 4 of 7 from the free throw line. So Furkan Korkmaz, again, known for his outside shooting, missed all three of his attempts from behind the 3-point line, but he was going to the bucket. We mentioned the one play where we played the audio, getting by Teague, using his 6'7 frame, using that height advantage, the length to shoot over Jeff Teague for a bucket and a foul as well. Maybe something that is being encouraged by this coaching staff as they get things going with this preseason action. 2 of 6 from the floor overall. Dwight Howard, 2 of 4 for 5 points, knocking down 1 of 2 free throws. The alley-oop, that little pick and roll, that action that they're going to have between he and Shake Milton, where Shake Milton is just going to throw it in front of the rim. Still enough bounce in those legs from the 35-year-old Dwight Howard to finish, just like we saw in the audio clips that were there from the practice sessions that the Sixers allowed us to see on their Twitter account, and also what we just saw right there in that game that we saw a few hours ago with the alley-oop connecting Shake Milton to Dwight Howard. Mike Scott, some early run. Hopefully he can bounce back from a subpar season a year ago as the first power forward off the bench for the team. Always love Mike's versatility with his shooting from the perimeter, his toughness. Always good to see that. And then the young guys, Matisse Thybulle, we mentioned him, everyone else thereafter. We're going to take a break, though, quickly. Come right back. Get to the phones. 610-632-0975. Sixers' first game of the season. Preseason action. 108-99 over the Boston Celtics in game number 1 in South Philadelphia, folks. It's good to have basketball back. So we'll take your phone calls on the other side, get your thoughts. Still some things I want to get into with Tyrese Maxey, Tony Bradley as well, and just the team overall, some of the things that I saw from Doc Rivers as well. 610-632-0975. In the post, Sixers back. We're talking about it until midnight here on The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
.1102 broadcasting from the Xfinity Studio, only from Comcast, in the post with you, preseason style, right here on 97.5 The Fanatic. 610-632-0975. Good to have basketball back. Good to have basketball back. And I got to give special shout out to a couple of good people down there working at the center, starting with Marty Dickerson for the great work inside the building there helping out Brian Seltzer. We already know how good Seltzer is. Want to let you know how good Marty Dickerson is, too, engineering the game from there. And my man, as Doc Rivers gave him a shout-out, Derek Hayes, for the great work inside the building, keeping you involved like you were there, right? Hearing the crowd noises, that was you and Derek. That was you making the noise when they're at the free throw line. That was you and Derek. Now, I don't know about the, I guess you can still get the Frosties. We'll figure all that stuff out when the season starts. But, you know, it was great work by them and the in-arena folks that do all that great work led by Derek and the crew. So good stuff there, man. And just great work. The game ops that they put together, all of that stuff. I can't wait to get down there. Obviously, I had an opportunity to go, but being that we had to come here and, you know, I didn't want to rush and get back. Normally, I do it, but because of the new circumstances of how things are going, I was like, you know, tonight I'll go down there when the regular season starts and see how it goes. But I can't wait to hear from you guys, though, because I saw a lot of tweets, a lot of phone calls that we were able to get during the game where, unfortunately, we cannot bring you on the air. But we now have the opportunity to react to what you all saw tonight with the 76ers and heard right here on 97.5 The Fanatic with Brian Seltzer. Our numbers again, 610-632-0975. It's preseason, I know, but it's basketball and it's back. So your thoughts on what you saw, some things that you were encouraged about, and maybe something you want to see a little bit more of with this basketball team. In general, a little bit more of, you know, something you want to see going into Friday with the final preseason tune-up before they get underway next Wednesday at the center against Washington. Your thoughts on that. So 610-632-0975. Let's start things off in Los Angeles with a Sixer fan that we know for sure, and that will be Gerald from L.A. here tonight in the post. G, what's up?
Hey, what's up, man? It was so good to see them back out there, man. Especially after the disappointment from the bubble, to see this, like, basically, like, fresh new squad out there.
For sure.
It was really good to see, man.
Yeah, for sure.
I needed this. Between the bubble disappointment and the Eagles disappointment this season, I needed some hope. And, you know, they got, clearly it's early, it's one game, it's preseason, they got a lot of work to do, but a lot of little things encourage me. Ben Simmons was 4-for-5 from the free throw line. I'll take that every day of the week from him, man. I love seeing that.
Mm-hmm.
I love seeing Shake kind of free to play and creating. Because you remember, man, there was a lot of times last season when, you know, our second unit couldn't buy a bucket. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So to see him out there creating is great. And you and I disagree. I love the idea of Thibodeau coming off the bench, because that keeps a nice defensive presence out there for us to put on other teams, you know, forwards or sometimes guards that sometimes eat our second units up.
Yeah, the wing, yeah.
So,
yeah, the primary wing, if Ben Simmons goes out of the game and Danny Green, if he comes in for him as well, or even Seth Curry and you leave Green and Simmons out there, yeah, that defensive effort from Matisse Thybulle. Listen, I'm not mad at it, G. This is a good problem to have right now where you and I are debating on a defensive guy who still has some offensive limitations versus the shooters. That's a great problem to have to talk about your starting lineup versus your sixth man or your eighth man at this point of the start of the season, right? So I'm not right. mad if he's not starting. As long as he's still playing those 23 to 26 minutes, I'm good.
Now, think about the strategy of this. If Joel Embiid's in a game and he's getting points when they're not even running his stuff, what's it going to do to the defense? How is it going to demoralize the defense when on big possessions or in crunch time, they go, okay, now we're calling Embiid stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And their team is like, oh, crap. And now Embiid's getting to do all the stuff he loves to do. And you know, man, last year we had a lot of key moments where we just couldn't get a bucket, man. So I like that he's getting his without even being, you know, without us trying to force feed him in any way, shape, or form thus far.
Here's the only thing that I want to see. This is, I think this will be growth and maturity in that, to your point. That's only one game where we see that, and he still ends up with an 18-point night. Let's see it during the regular season where someone else has it going, and he's not involved as much as he would like to be, running up and down, getting gas potentially, and you kind of see him a little disinterested. So I hope that that's not something we'll see. And I actually think that, you know, he's going to go out there and prove a point that that's something that may be tagged to him, which, you know, let's be perfectly honest, it is. Sometimes he looks disinterested. He looks gassed. And if that's the case and we don't see that, I think you have something promising here with this team led by he and Simmons.
Well, I think one of the things that's going to help him is, he's still going to face them sometimes, but it's going to be harder for teams to double team him with all these shooters out on the perimeter, man.
I agree.
All right, good. Hey, I just want to mention real quick. I know we're talking Sixers tonight, but who told you that the boy was going to play well on Sunday?
Yeah, you, a couple of other people for sure, but you definitely did, man. You definitely did. And he played well. He played well. Not going to say he played really well. For his first start, he played well, and they got the win. He brought energy to that team. They walked away with the W, and he gets the start that he deserves on Sunday against Arizona.
My favorite, I had two favorite plays. The throw to Alshon in the corner was just perfectly placed. Nobody can get that.
Back
I love
shoulder.
Seeing that. But there was another play that was an incompletion, but he stepped back in the pocket. They got the rush on. He rolled out to the right and created a ton of space and stood there trying to wait for something to develop. When nothing developed and the defense was coming, he actually took two steps back to buy more time before he threw it away because nothing developed. And it was just so poised, and he created so much time and space. I love seeing it.
No, it was good to see a lot of that stuff. And, of course, we'll get into many more of these things during the week. Hey, G, good stuff, man. Thanks. We'll be talking to you for sure, man. Thanks for the call. 610-632-0975. And it was just, as far as Hurts, and we'll get to Anthony and everybody else, 610-632-0975 with the Sixers. Yeah, with Hurts, we've been talking about it all week long of how good it was to see him do the things that he did. Not getting carried away to the point where we discuss him having a great game. You know, oftentimes we get caught up in saying that about players or a game in general, where we go a little too far in saying great when he played good. He played good, and he gave us something different to latch on to in this game with the excitement level that he brought. Let's see it now carry on the road and see if the same thing has an impact on the defense as well against an Arizona team who can also put up points, and an Arizona team who can put up points similarly than the way we saw the Eagles do with Hurts under center. That's not his problem, but my point is, if they are having success against the Eagles defense because of the lack of secondary that they have now, they're going to be digging really deep into the bag for some corners and safeties with the injuries that they currently have on the team. They're probably going to have to put up more than the points that they did this past weekend, the low 20s. They're probably going to have to go a little bit higher if they're going to walk away with the victory against Arizona on Sunday afternoon. 610-632-0975. Sixers win their first preseason tune-up against the visiting Boston Celtics, even in preseason. I hate them. Visiting Boston Celtics, 108-99, and we ask you your thoughts on the preseason game. It's just good to have it back. Good to have it back. I have many thoughts, but I want to take some phone calls and say a few things myself that I have written down in my notes right here. Anthony and Trenton, yes, I take preseason notes as well. What's up, Ant?
Hey, how's it going, Devon?
How you doing, man?
I'm doing good. I really liked what I saw tonight. I think he gave us like a top 15. I think he's an elite scorer now. I think he's a good perimeter shooter. Finally, I mean, it's really taken some time, but he's really come into the league. He's starting to become a really good perimeter shooter.
Who are you talking about?
I think he's like a top 10 player in the NBA now. I think he's going to be a first team All NBA guy by the end of the year.
And who are you talking about?
Furkan Korkmaz.
No, he's not.
He could be.
No, he can't. Come on. I'm all for fun, but let's have a conversation. Come on. We can laugh together, but come on, let's be serious.
I mean, I can you can say all you want. I can make give you the argument that Furkan Korkmaz is by the end of the year will be first team All NBA.
All right. Well, look. Here's how I do it. Here's how I do it. I don't cut you off. I don't do any of that stuff. I get it. You want to call in. You want to have a little fun. You want to make a joke. I like laughing. I'm cool with a joke. That was, you know, we can have fun. I'll let you get your joke on. You can go off on it. But then at the end, I want you to be serious and talk about Furkan Korkmaz. So next time, Anthony, you want to call in and you want to do that, make sure that you're prepared for me to say, okay, Ant, that was a good joke. You know, since you hung up, that was a good joke. Now let's talk seriously about Furkan Korkmaz. Many will just cut you off. And I get it. I understand it. Many people listening are probably saying, Devon, cut this dude off. Is he serious?
That was me, well, by the way. Yeah, I cut him off.
You don't have to do that. You don't have to cut him off because I'll handle that. That's not a problem. And, you know, so next time, Anthony, call in. Let's laugh together. And then we can talk seriously about Furkan Korkmaz and his role as a 6th, 7th, or 8th, maybe a 9th, depending on the night, depending on the opponent, man off the bench for the Doc Rivers and the 76ers. And we'll see where it goes from there. He, you know, and that's why I kept waiting to see exactly where you were going and asking. And I'm giving you a little bit too much time as one of my friends who was a writer and who happens to be listening just texts and says, that wasn't even funny. You're right. It wasn't even funny. That's why I said, who are you talking about? You can clearly tell it was a joke at that point. And I wanted to give you the opportunity. So and just understand who you're calling when you do that. I will give you your time. But, you know, it's okay, my man. Go ahead and enjoy 2K21. Play Furkan Korkmaz. Make him a first-team All-NBAer. And it's all good. 610-632-0975. Before we get back to the phones, let me say a few things about this team tonight outside of the basics that we've discussed so far. Had a different feel to this team. For 7 years, we've been looking at a basketball team that was Brett Brown led. No disrespect to Brett Brown. The first few seasons were a part of the rebuild, as we know, the last few as contenders. And even though we had expectations for them that were promising and things that we thought that they should do, getting to the Eastern Conference Finals, last season getting to the NBA Finals, they fall short. This team had a different feel as we sat here listening, turning the television on, and seeing exactly what they were about. It was about me looking on the bench and saying, oh, okay, Doc Rivers is right there. Dave Yeager is sitting there. Maybe someone as not as well known as Dan Burke sitting right there. Sam Cassell sitting next to Embiid when he's checked out of the game. They're talking. Not that. Lloyd Pierce never did it. Kevin Young, who I love, never did it. Or any of these guys, right? John Bryant. Any of them. Not that they didn't do that. My point is, it's Monty Williams. It's good to see and have that different feel to the team as we just sit here and observe from afar. And I'm sure some of the writers who were sitting there at their individual tables looking across and maybe even feel the same way by just taking a peek at what they were doing, some of the stuff, the interactions that you would see. And once again, not just the players, but the coaching staff just seeing something and feeling different about this team. And I'm not going to get carried away and say, oh, well, they're going to win the Eastern Conference and they're going to get to the NBA Finals just because they have these new coaches, Elton Brand and Daryl Morey, are sitting in the stands watching the game or anything like that. No, it's just an observation of seeing this team for so many years. And then the last 7 with Brown and the last 3 where they were supposed to do something and they fell short. And now making this move, which is a natural difference because, again, the amount of time that we have been associated with Brett Brown here in town, you bring in someone else, sure, it's going to feel different, but you're not just, okay, let's start over and we're bringing in a guy that many people don't know or an assistant like Brown was, who is now being elevated as a coach, and let's see what he does. Not to say that that didn't work or wouldn't work, but now you have Doc Rivers, who is someone who is proven in this league. While I have had my questions in the past about Doc Rivers, and quite frankly, those things are still, you know, going to have to be answered here as the 76ers head coach, because I've seen too many of his games and in the regular season and playoffs, and then stories come out later on, stories that I've heard that were then reported later on that we believe to be true. He still has stuff to prove to all of us here in town, as exciting as it is to have him there, and the difference that it feels like to have him as the Sixers head coach on that bench. But it's good to have it there. It's good to have that different feeling about the 76ers right now as we start preseason game number one. A lot of questions still need to be answered. What's the depth going to look like? They seem to have depth. I don't think this is going to be the team at the end of the season, but for right now, as is, I like what I see right now. I like the fact that you can look at the starting unit, as we talked about with Gerald to start off the first phone call, the problem to have Matisse Thybulle starting or coming off the bench, because you have two elite shooters, one in Seth Curry, one in Danny Green, who may not be the same, but he is a problem. If you leave him open enough, he's going to knock these shots down. We saw what he did in the finals, where he should have been the MVP had things not fallen apart, when he was breaking three-point shooting records in terms of makes in the NBA finals as a member of the Spurs taking on the Miami Heat. We've seen it before. So it's a good problem to have when you're talking about your second-year player who was picked in the 20s that could potentially be a starter on a playoff team that has higher expectations of, once again, a deep playoff run versus these two guys who can shoot. That's a good problem to have. Then, the backup center position. First of all, and my friend, who I know, and a bunch of my media friends, the one thing that we talk about a lot are the set substitutions at a set time for so many years with the 76ers. Joel Embiid was going to come out of the game somewhere around 8 to 7 minutes, maybe stretch it to like 6:45. He and J.J. Redick are coming out. Oh, Joel Embiid went the first quarter for quite some time. And it was good to see him not come out right away the way that he normally does. Joel Embiid played 8 minutes and 43 seconds in the first quarter. 8 minutes and 43 seconds in the first quarter. Why? Well, number one, they haven't played in a while. So it's okay. He might get gassed, but hey, push through it. We have two preseason games. We're going to need you for these 72. We got a bit of a run. We're going to need you. Well, in that time, 4 of 9 from the floor, getting to the free throw line one time. He had 9 points, 1 board, 2 assists, and no personal fouls and no turnovers. I like that. I like the fact that since he had it semi-going in an offense that was not, you know, geared to his style of play overall, where the play calls were for him, he was still being successful, and Doc Rivers did not pull him off of the floor with a set time in this first quarter. Now, we'll see as the regular season goes along, but for right now, I like to see that with that. So, after that, coming in, Dwight Howard, the 3 minutes and 17 seconds he played in the first quarter as a reserve for Joel Embiid. This is not, with all due respect, and you know I've defended like hell, I defended Amir Johnson, who is a part of the D-League team to help out with those young guys right now. This is not a situation where you're looking at Kyle O'Quinn. This is not Amir Johnson. This is 35, yes, years of age guy like those two who are a little bit old. He's older than them. But when I say the feel is different, it feels different when you have Dwight Howard, not just because of the name value, but because he still has enough bounce. He attacks the offensive glass his entire career and can still do it. He is a legit shot blocker, rim protector, shot changer for the 76ers. And that, again, is something that is a positive to look at with this basketball team throughout the season when Embiid comes off the floor or even has to miss a game from time to time. That's good. That's really good. And that's going second off of your bench, where we haven't even mentioned Shake Milton, who looks comfortable out there, who knows his role, understands what's being asked of him. Doc Rivers has talked a lot about him during this training camp. And he comes out and gives you 19, 15 in the third quarter. Not going to do that every time. But to have that, okay, that's your guard. Howard, you're big. All right. Korkmaz and Matisse Thybulle, your wings. All right, I like that too. You seem better, I'll admit. But this is not bad with the depth that they currently have for this team right now, as is. Different feel about this basketball team, even in a preseason exhibition game to start things off with the 2020 campaign. One more to go with Indiana on Friday night. Your phone calls again on the other side, 610-632-0975. Just a couple of things that I noticed that I wanted to share about this team, and a few more that after we take your phone calls that I will give as well going forward. 610-632-0975. And as we mentioned going forward, final segment on the other side, 25 minutes commercial free. We'll wrap up in the post. Sixers 108-99 victory over the Boston Celtics. Nothing to get too excited about except for basketball is back in the post. One more segment right here on The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
This is Joel Embiid, and you're listening to Devon Givens from 97.5.
Oh, Joel, thank you. Good night by you, my man. Great work as we go in the post for one final segment following a 76ers game here on 97.5 The Fanatic, 610-632-0975. One of my closest friends, my best friends, like, you know, of course, when you have those best friends that are family, he texted me earlier and was like, yo, why it's so strange to have basketball, preseason basketball, in December, right? Strange times, but we do. And the Sixers get a victory, 108-99. We actually had a couple people drop during the break, and I understand that the breaks are long and you couldn't hang on. So if you want to check back in, we're here for about another 20 minutes. So we'll talk to you, take your phone call, 610-632-0975. Before we get to Mike, I was looking I had my notes here during the break, and it had me thinking back to this one play in the first quarter, very early in the game. You know, the Sixers had their quick 2 points. Then Boston went on their run. They were up early, 8-2, I believe it was, and then 8-4. And then this, which a lot of people were excited about this move when it happened a couple of weeks ago, and now to see it come to fruition, even in the preseason game, made a lot of people smile.
Joel Embiid brings it up. He'll start in the near right wing. Dribble handoff to Seth Curry. Curry giving a lot of room. Top of the key jumper, and he connects. Second long two for Curry, who played last season with the Dallas Mavericks, coming to the 76ers in a draft night trade involving Josh Richardson.
Real simple, right? First of all, great call by Brian Seltzer. The dribble handoff, he was being checked by Marcus Smart, who's a first-team all-defensive player along with Ben Simmons on that first team. And came across the baseline, right? Had that extra screen that he went off of from Ben Simmons, right? Simmons sets the screen on Smart. Little curl on that dribble handoff as Embiid puts his big body on the defender. Robert Williams sags off a little bit too much. Seltz just laid it out, giving a little bit of space. Robert Williams knows better, right? No drop coverage right there. You don't back off. You don't back off. You close out, hedge out a little bit, and allow your man, who, again, understanding your personnel, is a defensive player of the year candidate, allow him to recover and get back, even though Embiid is a big dude to get around. But if you've listened to me over the last couple of years, specifically during the J.J. Redick years, 17, 18, 18, 19, my favorite player. And yes, Simmons and Embiid are my favorites to watch because they are Simmons and Embiid. But watching J.J. Redick do what J.J. Redick does on the offensive end on the floor, those dribble handoffs, those pin downs that we would see, right? Those curls that they would run, the action that they would have, the fact that when he would make, he already comes with the reputation of being J.J. Redick as a shooter, but to then rise up, the defender come out and close out the way we were just talking about with Robert Williams, the confusion that it creates where not only does his defender start to get confused as to what to do, but also the confusion of the big man's, Embiid's defender, figuring out if he should stay on Embiid or close out on Redick. And then the next thing you know, he's rising up. Embiid's rolling to the basket now. A quick fire pass to Embiid for the layup or dunk opportunity. That's that type of action and that type of shooter provides you. And as much as I wanted to see it with Josh Richardson, and wanting to see it with Richardson more so as somebody who explodes to the basket because he makes a couple of jumpers, they do close out and you now put the ball on the floor, take one dribble, two steps, the explosion to the basket, layup, dunk, fantastic. 2 points in a different way. It didn't happen enough. And now that you have this shooter with Curry, he's not J.J. Redick, so I don't want people to get carried away. He is one of the best shooters of all time, numbers-wise. Impactfully, let's see what it does. I don't get him confused with J.J. Redick. I love the pickup. He is a flat-out shooter. And we're going to see a lot of that. I love seeing it coming from the right side, as Seltz mentioned it, because a lot of the J.J. Redick stuff come from the left side of the floor as well. So it's good to see this. But I just wanted to isolate that as something that, yes, it's preseason. These are things that you're going to work on. You don't want to give these other teams too much to take from the film and get ready for the gameplay, the actual gameplay, the ones that count. There's no secret. There's no secret with that. How do you stop it? Stop it. That's the point. Just stop it. You leave him too much space, he's going to knock it down. 610-632-0975. Love seeing that play. Some pick and roll things in there as well. I have my thoughts about the pick and roll stuff also, where I don't want people to, once again, get too crazy about the pick and rolls. Embiid is not great in pick and rolls. All right. Slip it to the basket a little. All right. Well, we'll get into that as the season goes along, see if things improve in general. Mike in Doylestown next in the post. Mike, how you doing?
Hey, Devon, how you doing?
Doing okay, man. It's good to have ball back.
Yeah, right. I'm echoing that sentiment as well. You know, it's been a kind of dreary couple weeks, you know, on the radio, you know, with some of the other teams in the city, how they've been performing. But to have basketball back, you know, I'm excited as well. You know, the way that we really hit a home run this offseason, you know, injecting new life, I feel like, just from front office positions to draft to the offseason moves. You know, just the way this team is constructed from top to bottom, you know, it's a lot deeper than it's been in the past, you know, in terms of roster construction and, you know, cause I think what did us in is we were really top heavy in terms of talent. But you know, it's really a nice sprinkle of youth and just working, you know, like Maury said, you know, we're putting players around, you know, Ben and Joel that really work off of them.
No question. And that's why I mentioned it a little bit earlier, just laying out the good problem to have, whether you start second year man Matisse Thybulle because he's so good defensively right now, so young, or you go with the shooters to space the floor for your star players in Simmons and Embiid, as well as Tobias Harris, making things easier for him. That's a great problem to have. And then you mentioned Shake Milton the night that he had the confidence that he looks like he's carrying on the floor. Dwight Howard is the backup. Furkan Korkmaz, you know, these coaches seem to like him. Doc Rivers keeps talking about him. Let's see if this is something that really carries over. And then you bring in that X factor, if you will, of can Tyrese Maxey find himself on the floor, bringing a little energy, some spark maybe from time to time. Doc says, you know what? For 5 minutes, I need that. I need that guy out there to push the pace, put some pressure on the defense, all of that stuff, and even defensively, you know, use his body to get up in where Shake Milton maybe does not provide that. He gives you a little bit of that, and they have options, and it's good to see that right now as is.
Oh, totally, totally agree. You know, like you said, it is a good problem to have. And I think, you know, once we went back into our second unit, you know, it really dropped off big time where we really had to have, you know, either Ben holding off at the second unit, even Tobias just kind of seemed out of place last year. But like you said, you know, we have the depth is there. And, you know, I see a lot of Lou Will in Maxie. You know, obviously Maxie has, you know,
a long way,
you know, superior defensive ability. I mean, I'll throw that comparison out there. I mean, if he can reach that level of, you know, aggressiveness and there's no lack of confidence, I feel like, in the shot taking already for Maxie. You know, like you said, Shake, if he can perform that, you know, solid scoring off the bench that, you know, we really were lacking, you know, once we went deep, you know, it was really tough for us to make up for that in the subsequent quarters.
No, it was, man. It really was. And like I said a little bit earlier, not to get carried away with any of the stuff that you and I, Mike, are talking about here, but it now seems to have, we talk about purpose when you do stuff out there on the floor. It seems to, the roster, number one, has a purpose. And then when they're out there on the floor with the execution, with the construction that you speak of, everybody seems to have a purpose from one through, let's just say, 10 right now. Everyone seems to have a purpose out there, and it also helps to have that coaching staff as well. Good stuff, man.
Thanks, Devon.
You got it, Mike. We'll be talking 610-632-0975. Sixers back at it Friday right here on the Fanatic Net. It's a 6 o'clock start, right? If I'm not mistaken, I know you have the schedule behind you. The Indiana Pacers game, 6 o'clock start Friday. Sixers-Pacers in Indiana. I believe it's a 6 o'clock start instead of a 7 o'clock.
Yes, sir.
Okay, so 6 o'clock starts. We'll have that stuff right away for you right here on the Fanatic after the Mike Missanelli show. Dominic in West Philly next. What's up, Dom, in the post? What's up, Dom?
Devon, what's up, man?
We got hoops back, Dom. That's what's up.
Let me tell you something. I had to call you because this is the first post. Oh, it's preseason. This is before the first session. I ain't had to put my feet up on no couch yet. All right? No sessions yet. And I was telling the producer, you know, before, first of all, the way that the season ended last year, I was a hater. I wanted to see blood. Everybody could go.
Yeah.
Right? Now that during this off season, I was so impressed, reluctantly impressed. I didn't want to be impressed by the brain trust that they brought in, the minds that they have around. I'm happy to see Sam Cassell sitting on a bench.
Talking like to Joel Embiid, right?
Man, I love this, right? Now, of course, I called you last year. I called Tobias Harris. Room temperature tap water. He still is.
Yeah.
Room temperature tap water, right? Yeah. I don't like Tobias. Me and him never going to be cool, okay? Unless he Ray Allen a shot and give us the ring one year. But outside of Tobias' presence on this team, I got to say, like, I'm so encouraged that I'm a little discouraged.
Ooh.
Because anytime I'm this encouraged, we drop the ball as a Philadelphia team. Anytime we're excited about a team, when a team looks like this, it kind of gets me a little nervous. And I mean, I like how everyone looks. I like the disposition. I kind of like the general feel. I'm not an X and O guy, but I'm a intangible energy guy. I can feel your energy. I see your eyes. I see your body language. I see I feel all that stuff, you know? And for some reason, Devine, you know, of course, this is before the season starts, so I had to call you in my happy mode, right? But I feel like, Devine, I'm interested again, and I put my hate to the side.
Nah, and you should. And listen, to your point about the session, let's be real. We can have good sessions as well. And I'll tell you right now, Dom, the season starts on Wednesday of next week on the 23rd. You better believe we're going to have that preview show where we all sit back, put our feet up, and let's have this positive talk about the team. We'll point out what they need to do well, some of the things that we might have our issues with because they're not perfect. And they are all new, and it's a 72-game season, and they've only had a couple of weeks of a training camp and all of that.
Right.
But, you know, it like you said, many people, yourself included, are going to get really high. I've seen so many people on social media already, Dom, say, all right, you guys have pulled me back in already. I'm mad at myself.
Right.
You know, that's Tyler Zuli being one of them here at the Fanatic, saying they pulled me back in, and I'm probably going to be mad at myself, but who the hell cares? Because look at what they're trying to give us right now, right?
Yes.
So listen, man, embrace it. It's a new team, new front office with Elton Brand and Daryl Morey, a new coach, Doc Rivers, with the staff, as you pointed out, going as deep as Sam Cassell, not even mentioning Dan Burke and Dave Yeager.
Right.
They have stuff. They have stuff to go off of. They still have time. I don't think this is going to be the final roster. Daryl Morey just does. He makes moves. Mm-hmm. And he and Elton Brand, during his time of calling the shots, he makes moves. So this is preseason and all. It's exciting to have it back. And I don't know where they're going to be, but it's going to be fun to watch them be coached by Doc Rivers.
Yeah, and at least I'm not going in this season like I was at the end of last season, wanting them to fail to prove a point, just to make them hurt the way they hurt me. Now, I kind of like, just because of the moves they made, I kind of let all that go, and I said, okay, show me what you got.
Uh-huh, no doubt, man, no doubt. Well, listen.
We'll be kicking it.
We'll be talking, definitely. Session next week.
All right.
Be ready. Let's do it, positive. Let's do it, 610-632-0975. Yeah, man, I mean, look, we have the sessions because they disappoint us, they tick us off, and we get mad at the things that they do. Well, we're going to have a preview show next week, like we always do. And there, I'm sure there'll be more. I know from my words, there will be more positive than negative. I don't have a lot of negative things to say and lay on this team right now because we don't know. The normal negatives, like Dom just pointed out, we'll have our questions about Tobias Harris and what he's going to bring. He can score. We know that. All right. Like we always say, right? When Doc Rivers laid out there that Embiid got you 18, and it was easy, and we didn't even run his stuff, we ran our stuff. All right, cool. Why? As he pointed out, because the ball finds great players. He's a great player. The ball is going to end up in his hands. There are 48 minutes of basketball. It will find him. Tobias Harris is a 18, 19 point per game scorer every night. That's going to be him. That's tattooed on his forehead. That's on his headband every night when he goes out there, 19.5 points per game. Okay, I'm not surprised by that anymore. When I said after their first 52-win seasons, okay, cool, that's great. Let me tuck that in my pocket. 17, 18 on the left, 18, 19 on the right. All right, 19, 20, what you got for me? What you got for me here? I expected that. So I expect that those 50s in my pocket, my left and my right, I'm good. I need those 50s again as a, all right, this is what I'm going to give you because you know I'm going to give you this. Now I'm going to give you this other part. So when we talk about the couch in our session next week, previewing the season, we know Tobias is going to give you 18, 19 a night. I expect it. Will it be impactful? Can you up it to 21, 22? That's what I want to see. That's what I want to know. Will they be empty? Like Dom was talking about, he's never going to be a Tobias guy. Well, if Tobias Harris does these things, maybe Dom will be a Tobias Harris guy. Those are a few negatives. But again, the positive is he's going to give you 19 tonight. Selfishly, you want more. Because he shows you that he can give you more. Give me a couple of those explosive 30-point nights. Not the one against the Knicks. I don't care about that. do that against the Portland Trailblazers when y'all going back and forth, running up and down the floor because they're going to score theirs. You're going to score yours. They somehow take Embiid out of the game a little bit. Simmons doesn't have it that night. Yo, fellas, I got this. That's what I want to see. That's the impact that I'm talking about. And yes, the Knicks are an NBA team. They're kind of not, but they're an NBA team. you drop 30 on them when Embiid and Simmons are out. All right, cool. You're supposed to do that. You're supposed to do that. You know it hits different when it's against a certain opponent. Has a different feel to it when you do that. That's what I mean. So a lot to be talked about next week. We'll talk about it tomorrow as well to get more reaction to this game. It's preseason, but it's preseason with a lot of interest because of all the new things that they have provided us over the offseason, from the front office to the coaching staff to the floor with the roster, the construction that's there. There's a lot to talk about. They have good length with this team. They're not super athletic. Simmons, Howard still is athletic even at the age of 35. It doesn't jump off like it used to, but you know what I mean. Matisse Thybulle, Maxey, if he can find his way, athletic. They are long, though. With Danny Green and his long arms, Matisse Thybulle, length, Embiid, Simmons, Harris, length. Coming off the bench, Howard, length. They have positional versatility with this team, and I can't get into all of this at 11:51 at night because we don't have enough time. So we'll talk about that a little bit more tomorrow. We'll certainly go in the post for a couple of hours on Friday night after the Pacers game. But the Sixers start their preseason off with a 108-99 victory over the Boston Celtics. Good to see basketball back. Great to see it back. Great to see what they did in the building. Derek Hayes again giving them his props. The beat writers being in there doing theirs. The PR folks. Tyrese Maxey buzzing as soon as he gets in the game. Buzzing when he talks to Brian Seltzer post-game. Fun overall. Good to have basketball back. We'll get back into football tomorrow. We'll mix in a little Sixers talk as well as we get started. Either 6 or 7 tomorrow. Let's see, because of the weather, we all know what's going to happen. So with that, everyone, be careful tomorrow as we are anticipating whatever they're trying to tell us with the snowstorm. So have a great day getting yourself ready. Be safe. Take it easy out there. No rushing. Get to where you need to get to safely. I'll be with you to hopefully help you get through that drive, or as you sit there with your hot chocolate watching the replay of this game tonight, tomorrow. And then you recorded our show tonight, so you're going to go back a little bit, listen to that to get prepared for it. It's going to be fun. It's going to be fun. Nat Marlowe, great work. Tyler Zuli, Marty Dickinson, Brian Seltzer. Of course, all those great people out there again with the Sixers. Derek Hayes, my guy. I love what he did. Franklin in the building. We love it. Have a great night, everybody. We'll talk to you tomorrow, either 6 or 7. I'm not sure as of yet because of the snow. But be safe, everybody. I'll talk to you tomorrow. Sixers win 108-99. The first in the post of the 2021 campaign right here. 97.5 The Fanatic. Good night.
Devon Givens.
Give it up.
On 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.